Okay. Father, thank you so much for allowing us this venue that you've given us, Lord, this fellowship circle of brothers and sisters in Christ. Lord, I just thank you so much for it. It gives us an opportunity to meet one another and to joke around, but most of all, to come and learn about you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for that. We thank you, Lord, that you're first in their life. We thank you, Lord, that you're placing us in that position to where we can help lots of people here in the days to come. You're putting us on that holiness road. You've got us on that sanctified road, Lord, that where we can help other people. I praise you, Father, for the work you're doing in each one of us. I thank you, Lord, for your supernatural power that you've made available to each one of us to minister to the people, to the lost out there, to everybody. And I thank you for to the body. And Lord, I thank you that you've given everybody here a field to work, as Ruth did, a specific field to work. And I praise you, Father, for that. I've got a part, they got a part, everybody's got a part in this body. And I praise you, Lord. And thank you, Lord, that today, tonight, that your revelations are going to come forth out of your body. And I thank you, Lord, that you allow your Holy Spirit to lead us and let us be ever diligent and to listen and to understand that it is the Lord leading us into the things that we talk about and the things that we say. And I praise you, Father, for all the work you're doing in each one of us in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Here, I don't know what day it was, but Missy blogged a YouTube deal that was talked about the tongue. I can't even remember the name of it, but I've got it. And what I thought I'd do, maybe what is today? Today's Tuesday, maybe Thursday night is run. I think it's about an hour long, isn't it, Missy, or is it that long? No, but about 15, 20 minutes.
I think it's like 16 minutes.
Okay. All right. And I'd like to everybody to listen to that, but I'll have it ready for Thursday night. Won't take long, and we'll run that. And it's really awesome. It makes you think about what you're saying and what happens when you say it. It doesn't only affect you, what you say. It affects everything around you. Everything. I'm talking everything, y'all. That's everything. The vibrations that you send out of your mouth either kills or heals. And that's a natural fact. I'm not scientific fact. And we're going to see that Thursday night. So tell your friends and neighbors and come on board, y'all, because we're going to watch it. It's going to be good. It is. It's really good. It really gave me some insight into the junk that comes out of my mouth sometimes, you know. Not that any does, but I'm just saying, you know, for y'all's benefit. Anyway, you know what I'm talking about. We can't. Well, anyway, we'll talk about that Thursday night. Anybody got any prayer requests? And y'all be quiet. Judy's here. Hi, Judy. How you doing, girl? Okay. Anybody got any prayer requests? Let me get something down here. Right on.
Yeah. Oh.
Yeah. Go ahead.
I want to pray again for our daughter, Victory.
Okay.
I just talked to her today, and she acknowledged that she's given the baby up for adoption. So that's what she said, so I don't know how far her plans are going to go, but speaking.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And so that's what she's saying. And then she did say that, I'm just concerned for, I feel there's a lot of anger in her and a lot of suppressing things that she's you know, trying to suppress with, you know, outside sources, drugs, stuff. And I think there's a lot going on with it. And that's, so she's feeling like, you mentioned that I wanted to get an abortion, but I didn't have the money. And then I was trying to speak to her about not being condemned. And I meant like condemnation of the enemy. And she said, I don't know what you're talking about. I'm not condemned. And even if I did get that abortion, I wouldn't feel condemned. And so I just think that's hardness in there. And she just needs a lot of prayer, I just want to speak that out so we can really pray for her. And things are prayer.
Okay. Why don't you lead us, and then we'll be led by the Holy Spirit to follow up, okay?
Thank you, Father. Lord, just lift up victory, Lord. I just bind that spirit of anger that is in her, Lord, in Jesus' name, spirit of bitterness, in the name of Jesus, God. I just pray you loose that from her, Lord. I just pray, God, that you would just help it to come out of her somehow, Father. And in Jesus' name, I just, I thank you that I just bind the spirit of feeling of her oppression and condemnation that I believe she does feel self-condemned, Lord, and as a failure, and looking at her life, Lord, and but she's covering it all up, Lord. And I just pray that you would just come to her, Father, and reveal yourself to her and cause her to turn to you, Jesus, and not to other things to mask over what's going on inside, Lord. And this whole thing she said about adopting out the baby, Lord, I just commit that to you, Father. And I know you know what's best for that baby. You know what's best for Victory, Lord, and Jonah and Kat May, Lord. I so just pray, Lord, that you would have your way here, Lord. The most of all, that you would just deliver her, Father. She'd be delivered into your arms, Lord, that she'd come running to you, Father, and want relief from you, Jesus. I pray for your spirit of conviction to come upon her, a convicting work by your Holy Spirit, Lord, that would lead her to you, Father, and draw her to you, Father. And Lord, for your goodness to work in her life, Lord, and allowing her to maybe get a job and a good babysitter so she can get her car fixed, so she can go places, Lord. She's in such a rut, Lord, and I just ask for your help. I pray for you to help her, Father, and we thank you, God, you're hearing our prayers, Lord, and you're going to work in her life, God. Set her free and bring her the help, Lord, and show her your goodness, God, to lead her to repentance, Father, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father.
Amen. Yes, Lord, we just thank you for victory. We thank you, Lord, and we believe that you're sending your angels from the Lord of the harvest right now to minister to her. We thank you, Lord, that we can. You said it. You said that we could, whatever we bound on earth is bound in heaven. Whatever we loose on earth is loosed in heaven. In the name of Jesus, I bind up rebelliousness, anger,
yes,
bitterness, all of those tormenting demons that are on Victory right now. I bind you up and cast you off of her right now in the name of Jesus. And Lord, I ask and I pray that you minister her, those angels to her. Nothing but peace and joy and victory in the word. And Father, I thank you for it. She's got an awesome name, Lord. And we thank you, Lord, that she's got a blessing spoke upon her when she was named even.
Yes.
And I thank you, Father, that victory has the victory. And I praise you, Father, that we're going to see a mighty deliverance here because we're in the end times, Lord. And we know that you have given us household salvation. And I expect and I thank you that victory is delivered from all of these tormenting spirits. And I thank you, Lord, for granting her repentance and a humble heart in the name of Jesus. And I expect to see it done in the name of Jesus. I believe it. I know it's going to happen. Thank you, Father. Glory. Hallelujah. I believe it. Y'all believe that? Everybody believe that? I do. I believe it. I believe that girl is going to show something else here. You mighty woman of God. We speak that in the name of Jesus. Go ahead. Yeah, sir.
Okay.
Go ahead, Sue.
Okay, I'm here.
Hi.
Hey, bud. Let me. We're trying to pray here. Hang on just a second. I got it.
I'd like to lift her up as well. Lord, I thank you, Father God, that you can give her remembrance. I pray that you would give victory, remembrance of those things that really brought her to your joy, to your peace, that you would bring those songs, whatever it is, that would give her remembrance of what she enjoyed of you, that it would just change her heart around, turn her heart around. Lord, because I know that when I know even in my own self, when I've had troubles and trials, sometimes you'll just give me a song and you'll just bring it to my attention, and then I'm able to turn. So I pray that you'll be able to do that with her as well, in Jesus' name. Because I know she followed you early on, you know, and I know that you can do that for her, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father.
Amen. I believe it. Thank you, Lord.
Yep. Michael?
Yeah, Judy.
Well, I got you. I got two prayer requests I'd like to put out. The first one is for my friend Julie. Her husband was the one, John, that the Lord healed him of his cancer. Well, Julie's going through a lot of health problems, you might say. And so, Lord, I just want to lift Julie Martin up to you today. I know that you're healing her, and she's already healed from the top of her head to the bottom of her feet. And Lord, I thank you for healing her, and that when she goes to the doctor Friday, she's going to get a good report, and that she's going to know the doctors didn't do anything, and all of a sudden she's feeling better. Thank you, Lord, that she's healed, and she'll praise you and worship you for that.
Yeah.
Well, thank you, Lord, for healing my friend Julie.
Amen.
And then my second request is I have a friend in Indiana that passed away. His name is Coach Bob Strait. He's a pretty famous coach in Indiana. He was my husband's coach, and my husband really admired him. He was awesome. All his players loved him. But anyhow, he passed away, but he's in his 90s, and he's a believer. And Lord, I want to lift his family, the Strait family, up to you. His wife, Jean, and all his children. I want you to give them understanding, peace, comfort, and knowing that Bob is going to be with the Lord. And that he's a man that the Lord wanted to take home to be with him. So Lord, we thank you that everybody, that you've given him peace and comfort. And I thank you for that, and for all the people that are going to be visiting him. And I thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
One thing that brought my attention to about praying for the Lord to give her a song or whatever she had in the past was, you know, he's done that for me, but he did that for my grandson, Willie. I was just on the phone just a little bit ago, and he was talking about, he was thinking about calling me a couple weeks ago, and he didn't call. But instead, he all of a sudden he got this song. You know, I think he called on the Lord too, but the Lord just put that song on his heart that he had always enjoyed in the past when he was a little boy. And it just helped him through that process because he was going through a heavy load at that time. So that's what made me think about praying that for her, for Victoria, or victory.
Yeah. Amen.
So thank you, Lord. Do that for, he's not a respecter of persons. He does that for us. Yeah. You can do that for victory.
Yeah. You certainly can. Amen. All right, anybody else? Yeah, Missy.
Tomorrow, I'm supposed to go visit Barbara and Bruce. So I don't know. I looked earlier to see if Barbara was on. I don't know if she is.
No, she's not.
Anyway, so I'd like to pray for my visit with them, and if there's anything that you want to pray them to or whatever.
Okay.
Father, I just ask you to to be with us in our visit tomorrow, Lord, that your joy, your peace, and your rest be in our midst, Lord. And your love. And I just ask you to just that we would just have good fellowship, Lord, and that everyone would be encouraged, and especially Barbara and Bruce, Lord. And I thank you, Father, for all that you're doing in their lives. And Lord, I just ask you to be with us all. Use me to give them words of encouragement, Lord, whatever it is that they need to hear. And I just ask you to just lift them up and encourage them. And I just cast on spirits of discouragement and depression, and just cast off spirits of pharmakia. And I thank you, Lord, for healing Bruce and strengthening him and giving Barbara strength and endurance, Lord, through all this, Lord. And I just praise you and I thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Lord, I'd like to add a little bit to that. I ask and I pray, Lord, that you empower Missy when she goes there, that she's going to be just like you walking in the door, that she's going to have the anointing of the words of knowledge for those two. And I thank you, Father, that everything that she says comes from you, and they'll know it came from you. And I thank you, Lord, for waking up those hidden loves of the Lord, that and the truths of the Lord that they know, but that sometimes our natural things, circumstances get in our way. And I thank you, Lord, that it's going to be an awesome time over there with Missy and Barbara and Bruce. They're all three just going to have a wonderful time in you, Lord. And I thank you for guiding, leading, and directing Missy when she goes over there. And I thank you, Lord, as she travels up there, that you travel with her in the car and instruct her what to say, what to do, and anoint her with your glory, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Y'all believe that? I believe it. I believe it. I believe they're going to see a victory tomorrow in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen.
Thank you.
All right. Get ready, girl. You're fixing to get you an anointing. I'm telling you. Praise God. Joe, you got your hand up, buddy? Okay, go ahead, brother.
Yeah, I was partially. Now I could use a little prayer myself, but I even got a prayer request for a coworker. You know, I had a little interesting conversation today. I'll start with that. I like how it always works out. I think that those are the opportunities a lot of times I've learned to take, is just I start having a random conversation. There was a guy I've talked to on multiple occasions. You know, I mean, he's one of the few. I mean, I've kind of narrowed it down who I can talk to about matters of faith and, you know, political things and different stuff, and others that are just totally shut off from it. So he's one of the few I always talk to about stuff like that. And you know, he started out talking, I think he was watching something on TV about he was talking about UFOs and aliens, and I just started up talking about I mean, one thing led to another. I think I was talking about fallen angels. You know, that's how, I mean, from what I understand, that's what the Bible teaches. I mean, I haven't really delved into it, you know, as aliens are demons, you know, demonic spirits. I mean, you know, manifesting themselves. And then it led into, you know, the talk about, you know, I mean, I used to listen to rock and roll a lot, you know, before I got saved, and I struggled with it for a while. I mean, you know, probably many of us, some of us here, you know, grew up listening to rock and roll and all that stuff. And I introduced a set of videos that were on YouTube. You know, it's a big one. There's a church out in California. It's called They Sold Their Souls for Rock and Roll. And I mean, you know, the guy does a good job of pointing out the how, you know, these music artists, I mean, just mostly music artists, have sold their soul to the devil. And that's how they've gotten to where they're at. You know, we had random conversations, you know, and he some of the things he said, yeah, I can see that, you know, I mean, that's, you know, that makes sense. But I think he was also blown away by some of the things. And I thought, well, let me, I told him, check these videos out. You know, they're good eye openers. And I'm not sure if he's saved. He was attending a Baptist church for many years. So, I mean, I haven't quite nailed it down. And, I mean, I like these, you know, opportunities, you know, where the God can, I can plant seeds and, you know, kind of try to establish some things. You know, I would say glancing or just, you know, from the little time I've talked to him about things, he could be a believer. I'm not 100% sure. I mean, he is dealing with a lot of unforgiveness and bitterness and stuff like that. So that's where I have to wonder. I'm like, has he backslidden so far into it? Or, you know, I'm not sure, but I'll go ahead and pray just so you know. I mean, agree with me. And I also would like prayer. Well, I sense the enemy's trying to backtrack on, you know, me and get me caught up in that. I'm battling the last week or two, you know, with just that, you know, feeling that thoughts of, you know, rejection and stuff again. I was battling this morning, you know, pretty heavily and trying to get caught back. I mean, get me caught back up in that double mindedness and stuff, you know. So I see the enemy trying to pull me back into things. I mean, whatever opened the door to that, if it did. But I mean, I sense I could use some strength to just kind of push that out, because I just like, I don't need to get caught back up in that nonsense again. But I'll pray for my coworker. John is his name, older gentleman, and you know, we'll see where the Lord leads with that. So Father, I just thank you for just another opportunity, Lord. I've gotten these opportunities in the past, and I thank you for them, where the conversation leads into spiritual things. And Lord, I just pray for John. I just, most of all, I want to lift him up to you right now. And Lord, I am not 100% certain if he is one of your children, but he has an openness to those things. You know, I thank you for that. At least he is open, you know, and that's, I mean, that makes me wonder, you're thinking, hey, he is, you know, one of your children. He has been born again, Lord. And I thank you for that. If that is, you know, reality. But if not, Lord, let our conversation we had today be a stepping stone towards things like that. But I pray you would just kind of water that seed in his heart, you know, with some of the things I said. And I pray, most of all, Holy Spirit, you would put it on his heart. You know, he said he would check out those videos, you know, to really just see what the truth behind rock and roll, just, you know, the spirit behind it, you know, the reality of these rock and roll music artists and all that stuff. Lord, help it, you know, let that be just a something that just opens his eyes to spiritual things. You know, he has an understanding of some of those things. It seems like, in a, you know, there's a desire there, but you know, the demons keep him more than anything. You know, he doesn't understand that the demons reside in him, you know, it seems, and that's what's probably, you know, most of all keeping him from these things. And I pray, Lord, you would just deal with him concerning the unforgiveness and the bitterness towards his family. You know, he's been hurt by his family. You know, they were never really there for him. And he's been hurt by others, Lord. So I ask that you would help him to deal with those things. Teach him, show him where, you know, just how much you don't like unforgiveness, Lord. But just show him how much you want to deliver him and free him from those things, Lord, most of all. And I just thank you for any other opportunity you're going to give me, Lord. And I ask that, you know, you would use this, Lord God. Use this in Jesus' name to just lead John, if needed, to salvation. You know, we thank you for his salvation. But if not, that, you know, Lord, that he would recommit his life to you. You know, whatever the case, you know, help me to, baby, you know, even establish that. Where is he at, so that I may, you know, pray accordingly. You know, and I thank you for that, Lord. I thank you for what you're doing. And I pray for all my other coworkers that you would just, I pray for the ones who, the chosen there, Lord, that you would give me opportunities like this to reach out to them and just to plant seeds or to just establish, okay, or you know, where are they at? Lord, help me, you know, as I go around and I just, I get opportunities from you. Thank you for this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father, for doing that for John. Well, in the name of Jesus, right now, I come against rejection, fear of rejection on Joe. I bind it up, cast it off of it. You no longer can stand on that ground. It's just holy ground. I command you to go in the name of Jesus. Lord, I thank you that he's free, delivered, and on the road again. And we praise you for it, Father. We ask, Lord, that you put it in his heart when it even tries to show its head, that he knocks it right back off in the name of Jesus, Lord. Just takes an old Holy Ghost baseball bat and just knocks it off again. And Father, we thank you for that. That warrior attitude you've given Joe, in Jesus' name. We thank you, Lord, for all the work you've already done in Joe. It's amazing how he's transformed and still transforming, Lord, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father, for doing that for Joe, in Jesus' name. Lord, we thank you that he is delivered, set free, in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
Amen, brother.
Amen. Thank you, brother.
Lord be to God.
Amen.
Yeah, Judy, go ahead. Oh, I mean Sue, I'm sorry. Is she going to unmute you?
Oh, okay. That's funny. When you were just praying that, I had that conversation with my grandson tonight before I got on the site, and we were talking about this. He's into art, and he did this abstract. He's starting this abstract painting. And he asked me what I thought about it. And I found it on my phone because he had sent me a picture of it. And here I was looking at it and I thought, what is that? It looks like a snake or two or something, you know. And when I talked to him, he told me what he got out of it. And I thought, okay, I'm getting interpretation here. And it looked like it was like maybe a snake or two with its head off. And you know, when you prayed that, it's like... Let me think about that. Just like, you know, you get dreams. I'm starting to see that he's getting some, because that's what he said, that was what he got out of that painting that he's starting to do, that it was like a snake with its head off.
Mm-hmm. So,
and that's a good thing. That's a good thing, because maybe he, like the dreams we get, maybe he's his art that he gets into is giving an interpretation, you know, like a dream.
Yeah.
Relating to what's going on, and praise the Lord, we're getting rid of the demons, and their heads are coming off.
Amen.
They're not ruling anymore. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord. Yeah. All right. Okay, anyone else? Okay, Judy, go ahead.
Okay, well, so silent, I thought, well, maybe I should get in here. I got kind of a testimony. I thought it was pretty cool. I had to go get my hearing aids checked. But then I was talking to this, I handed them a Sovereign God book, but then I looked, they still have their Sovereign God book that they have on the stand, but it was behind another book, so I had to put it in front. But anyhow, there was a guy sitting there, his name was Joe, and I turned around and just felt like, I think Joe would like this book. So I asked him if he would like a Sovereign God book. And he says, yeah. You know, and I explained how great the book is and that it's in big print so we can read it. And it's backed by lots of scripture. And it just will really change your life. It's so awesome. Well, I had to wait a little bit. And so I sat down, we started talking. And I just shared with him my testimony, how I got here to Tennessee, that I'm from Indiana. And he just seemed to be really blessed listening, and I talked to him about that we had gone to the Ark and Noah's Ark and asked him if he had gone there, and then I showed him pictures of that, and we just started talking about God. It was really pretty awesome. And so I wanted to bring him up to and bless him, and bless Lord, I bring Joe up to you. I don't know that much about him, but you know about him, and I want you to be with him, guide him, protect him, and as he's reading that book, Lord, give him understanding and just let that book bless him so many ways, and let him just talk to everybody else about it. Mm-hmm. And I thank you, Lord, for that you're blessing Joe and his family. Thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen. Lord, I just ask and pray that you anoint that book, and I bind up all the religious spirits that might be interfering with his knowledge of your scriptures, Lord. And I thank you, Father, that it is going to be an open book to him, and he's going to see it, and he's going to wonder, and he's going to come to you, Lord, in a mighty strong way. And I praise you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Lord, thank you. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Debbie, your victory's going to be fine. She's going to be fine. She's going to be fine. All right, anybody else? I believe the Lord just told me, Debbie and Denny, that he's got her in his hands and he's not going to let her go because of your prayers, both of your prayers and the prayers of the saints around you. He's going to do a work in her. It's going to be a quick work too. Praise God. All right. Thank you, Lord. By the way, Debbie and Denny, the two angels are out here. They're out here outside the door.
Forth, Lord.
Yeah.
Who was that youngster with Willie?
Yeah. That's his boy, I think.
That his boy?
And that's his son. Or is that your brother? That's your son, isn't it? Yeah, I thought so. Amen. Okay, anybody else? Okay, let me write this down. How many is this now? Go ahead. Go ahead.
We're just bubbling over today.
Okay.
I'd like to give this address to whoever wants it, if they can. That's what they need to write. The one that was on the blog, the message about how's that go? You will never speak bad words again after watching this. The power of words is huge. And you can check it out on YouTube, and it's through A&O Productions. So whoever wants to find that on YouTube and listen to it real good, it's a blessing.
You're going to take away my thunder, aren't you?
I didn't know.
Yeah, you did. That's okay. That's fine. Yeah, I'd like for everybody. Look. This group here is the smallest group we have listening to it out there. There's probably thousands listening to it broadcast. So that's good. Yeah. Y'all came in a little late. I made the announcement. I was going to run it Thursday night.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, okay. That's okay. That's all right.
I was thinking about what Joe was saying. You know, and what we were praying for, and I thought this would encourage him. This would be an encouragement for him to listen to that.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I think everybody needs to listen to it. I'm going to listen to it again.
Yeah.
I'm going to quit picking them curses.
I actually saw it that night. You brought it up, I think, Sue, or somebody else did. So, yeah, I need to see it again. This is just an ongoing struggle, you know. So, yeah.
Yeah,
again,
I think it would be good to listen to it at least maybe once a week, who knows?
Or I've been meaning to actually get a bag of rice. I thought I had a half bag of rice, but do that experiment. I won't actually, sorry.
Go for it.
Don't give you more. There's a pretty powerful experiment, you know, when you said scientifically, so I'm just going to leave it at that. You'll see. But, I mean, it's powerful about your words and what it causes. So I'm just going to leave it at that. But I meant to do that, and I think I'm going to do it. So, yeah.
Amen. It's a good one. If y'all want to go look at it, go look at it, because I recommend it. I tell you what, people could listen to that every day and get something out of it. Yeah, that's good. But we'll see it Thursday night regardless. No problem. Okay, anybody else need prayer or would like to pray or got a comment you'd like to make on anything? And anything like that?
Well, I think Lord wants me to share Alex to keep Smoke away and to tell Joe that to know that when his coworkers see him, especially the one he was just sharing with, that to believe that God's going to show him the reality of Jesus because they're going to see the reality of Jesus in him.
Amen. That's a natural fact. Thank you, Lord. Jesus. Thank you, Father. Okay, anyone else? That it? Okay, we're in Ruth. We got a surprise tonight, I think. Is anybody remember where we were? I think we're just going into 2, weren't we? Chapter 2. I believe that's where we were. And of course, we played that deal last week. That's just some of the stuff that's in there. That's just a little portion of what's in Ruth. Ruth is a rich, rich book. I've had a chance today to look at it a little bit. Not much, but I looked at it. Okay, I think we'll just start out in verse 1 in chapter 2. And Naomi had a kinsman of her husband's, a mighty man of wealth, of the family of Elimelech, and his name was And I don't think it says anywhere in here that Naomi had ever met Boaz herself. So we'll just stick that in your mind because it's gonna be pertinent here in a little bit. And Ruth the Moabitess said unto Naomi, "Let me now go to the field and glean among the ears of grain after him in whose sight I shall find favor." And she said unto her, "Go, my daughter." And she went and came and gleaned in the field after the reapers, and her hap was to light on the portion of the field belonging unto Boaz. How many of you believe in coincidences? Ain't no such thing, is there? Who was of the family of Elimelech. And behold, Boaz came from Bethlehem and said unto the reapers, "Lord be with you." And they answered him, "Lord bless thee." Then said Boaz unto his servant that was set over the reapers, "Whose damsel is this?" And the servant that was set over the reapers answered and said, "It is the Moabitess damsel that came back with Naomi out of the country of Moab. And she said, "Let me glean, I pray you, and gather after the reapers among the sheaves." And so she came and hath gleaned even from the morning until now, save that she tarried a little in the house. Okay, I'm going to stop right there and we'll go back. Does anybody see anything in these first few verses here that would pertain, spiritually speaking, to the New Testament, the gospel, or anything like that, spiritually speaking? Kinsman Redeemer, right? We talked a little bit about it last week. We got the Kinsman Redeemer here. Mighty man of wealth. He owns all the hills, don't he? Huh? Yep, he does. And his name was Boaz.
Well, Michael, I always saw in verses that the end of 2, she said, "Let me go to the field and glean among the ears of grain after him in whose sight I shall find favor." Well, she just spoke faith right then.
Yes, she did. That's it. Amen.
Find favor.
She was looking for favor, and she asked for favor, and she's going to get it, isn't she? She's going to head right for her field of gleaning. She's going to glean what she's going to get. She already knows what she's going to go, she's going for. Amen. And what happened? We all have a field that the Lord has given us, don't we? Huh? He's appointed each one of us to a field. And how we utilize that field bears on the fruit that we bear. Anyway, let's go on here. Anybody see anything else in these?
Well, I have something else I saw, I think.
Okay.
7. I have a question mark by this. So she came and she has continued from early morning until now without resting, even for a moment. It's like it stands like that's got something there. So I'm thinking if this, she stands for the bride and the bride is to do the work, right? Of ministering to others.
Mm-hmm.
So,
amen.
Gathering. Yeah.
The gleanings.
Gleaning, yeah.
She tarried a little in the house. Y'all see anything there? Y'all get your spiritual hats on now. Yeah, go ahead, Missy.
I just have a question. I'm sorry, I did not catch where you started in your verses. I'm trying to find
chapter 2. We're in chapter 2. Okay, and Debbie came over to verse 7. It's the second part of that.
Okay.
So she came and hath continued even from morning until now, save that she tarried a little in the house. Amen. Okay, come on, y'all. Put your thinking hats on.
Mine doesn't even mention about her tarrying or resting. Mine doesn't even say that.
The last part of 7?
Mm-mm.
Yes. Save that. Oh, what, Dan? Uh-uh. ASV has saved that she tarried a little in the house. That's the last few words in that sentence, in that verse.
Huh, mine ends with, without resting even for a moment. That's the last of that verse.
Oh. Sue, go ahead. Yeah,
I was looking at, you know, here she's gathering grain. And when I think of grain, I think of food for us, you know, spiritual food. So what I'm seeing out of this is whether, I don't know if this is what it's saying, but she's gathering the spiritual food for herself. And when we gather when we get into the spirit and we get the food, then we're able to rest afterwards. We are to rest in him because the word will give us that rest and that peace when we have the understanding. I'm not sure if that's what you're...
That's good. Yeah, no, that's good. Amen. Go ahead, Andrew.
Mine says, until, let's see, she came and has remained from early morning until... now, except that she rested a little in the shelter. But when we get the truth in us, it brings us to rest. It should. We're not always there, but she did. You know, she was resting.
Amen. Amen. Okay, that sounds good. Go ahead, Andrew.
Well, I was thinking that she's a Moabitess, and this is her first chance at actually gleaning some fruit.
in Israel, getting the fruit of Israel. She's in the field finding the fruit of Israel for herself and for her mother-in-law, and to get fruit from Israel in a spiritual sense, because Israel is a spiritual nation now, and we go to God to attain fruit, 30, 60, and 100-fold. So I think she's laboring. She's studying to show herself approved. She's working out her salvation with fear and trembling. And well, that's just what I sort of got out of it. She would find the fruit in the field all the day long. And I sort of put 7 to 9 together, and she was also even given water to by the other by the reapers. So she was allowed to drink from the same water vessel later on.
Amen. Because she also had witnesses that told Boaz, Jesus, the man-child, told Boaz, hey, this girl is working out there. She's been out there from morning till now. She's humping it, man. I mean, she is really gathering your bread. And these are leftovers, okay? This is leftovers. This is not the main meal. This is just leftovers. She's gleaning the leftovers in the field. Just remember that. It's going to be pertinent here shortly.
Michael.
Yeah, go ahead, Malcolm.
Yeah, don't you? I just love the, you know, the story is so real. It's just, of course, the Bible's that way, but it's just, you know, little details that just fill the story out and just kind of give you, you can just kind of visualize what's going on. And plus the incredible spiritual implications of some of these things, like tearing a little in the house and things like that. It's just,
yep,
what a gem.
Okay. Yeah, it is. It's, and I suspect if somebody would take and just study it for a while, they'd get a lot out of it. Go ahead, Matthew.
I was just, you were saying, picking up the leftovers. That reminded me of the New Testament. The disciples picking up all the leftover bread pieces from the Lord feeding the multitude.
Okay.
And just kind of thought that was kind of neat, you know, picking up the remnant, you know, and feeding them.
What happened? He multiplied it, didn't he?
Yep.
He multiplied the leftovers. Lord of God. That's good, Matthew. Come on, Willie. I know you're sitting there busting out, man. I know you got some revelation here to share with us.
Sorry, I was talking to the kids.
Okay. Did you get any revelation out of Ruth, what we've been talking about here?
No, I've been terribly distracted. I have to apologize for that.
That's okay. You just look like you had a world of knowledge there, and I said, I'm going to call on him. He's going to tell us something tonight. Okay. Well, you let it out, didn't you? All right. Anybody else? Anybody else? Go ahead, Tim.
I just had a question more than any answer, though. As far as carrying in the house, you think whether it was in Boaz's house or her house or what? If she's going to carry, going back to her own house, what work still doesn't make any sense either. anybody got any insight on that.
You cut him out, but I think he wanted to know what house it was that she was tarried in. And it doesn't really say, but I suspect it's Boaz's house. Right. Go ahead, Andrew.
Didn't Jesus in chapter 14 of John said, I go to prepare a place for you?
Yeah.
That's that place where it also mentions that in my Father's house that there are many mansions or many rooms in some versions. So if Jesus is preparing your house for you, and, you know, there's another place that talks about you being in the house, then I sort of think that when she's tarrying in this house and with all this fruit, you know, that she's got ready to take home with her to also her mother-in-law. So because she's too old to go out and work like that hard. And plus she's already got a lot too anyway. So she don't need to tarry for that kind of fruit, but the kindness of Ruth bringing this back to her will show her that now her new daughter is getting fruit from the Lord.
Okay, what did we establish last week that Naomi represented and Ruth represented? One was the Old Testament, the other was the New Testament. One was the Jew, the other was the Gentile. So, yeah, that fits right in. Because in the coming age, that's who's going to disciple the Jews, is the Gentile. Take the word of God to them. They have the truth now. She's got the fruit. She's going to show it to them. Praise God. That's good. Thank you, Jesus. Yeah, Tim.
You know, what I'm getting out of a lot of this is that the gleaning is that making sure that the harvest comes out that belong in the end gathering. That, you know, part of the job of the project is to go out there and
You're cutting out, Tim. We can't, I can't hardly understand you.
Oh,
yeah.
I just see it as kind of like the end gathering. The gleaner is going and making sure that everybody's in the harvest.
Amen. Amen.
Hey, Michael, can I share a little something that didn't even cross my mind last night when I shared my tidbit? Well, last Tuesday, I had just gotten back from being down there in Tennessee. And anyway, Merle and I and Fudge were in the kitchen, and I saw all these. The Lord was setting me up. Revelation later that I gave last week. But anyway. Merle must have been eating saltines with soup or whatever, and there was cracker crumbs on the table, and they were on the floor, and I'm like, what are these? And I said to Fudge, I said, you're not doing your job. You're supposed to eat the crumbs under your master's table, you know? And then it was later on that night then. So the Lord kind of gave me a little help there. It's kind of sovereign how he does stuff like that.
Amen. Anyway. Okay, what else we got in here? Well, we'll move on. We'll move on. Unless y'all come up with something, we can always go back. Then said Boaz unto Ruth, hearest thou not, my daughter? Hearest thou not, my daughter? go not to glean in another field, neither pass from hence, but abide here, fast by my daughters, by my maidens, Hearest thou not, my daughter, go not to glean in another field, neither pass from hence, but abide here, fast by my maidens. Let thine eyes be on the field that they do reap, and go thou after them. Have I not charged the young men that they shall not touch thee? And when thou art athirst, go unto the vessels and drink of that which the young men have drawn. Okay, I'm just going to stop there. What do y'all see in those two verses? That's pretty rich, ain't it? Yes, Sue.
Boaz is like Jesus saying, you don't want, he doesn't want you to go to some other field to get any grain.
His field.
His field. We don't need to go to any other denomination or anything like that. We need to be with Christ where Christ is. And that's what I get out of that.
Amen. What else? When you're in Christ's field, what happens?
You get blessed.
Yeah.
You get the water of his word.
Yeah.
The water and the food.
Yeah, Willie, go ahead.
You know, I found it interesting that, you know, she only gleaned what was left over. And it reminds me of that scripture that says, many are called, but few are chosen. What's the other, only few shall, I can't remember that other scripture that relates to that one. But that part that she was gleaning represents, you know, the few that are chosen, that part that she gathered, because she represents the church, you know. And so she gathered what was left over, you know. I guess that's the only way I could say it. You know, it kind of reminded me of that scripture. You know, the part where she gleaned, it was only that remnant that was left over. Mm-hmm. You know, and then the same dropping the handfuls, and he said, make sure you drop the handfuls for her to glean more, kind of reminds me of the Jews that will come in later. You know, so okay, that's what I see from it, you know, because they were being dropped by Jews, even though, that's all I got to say about it.
Yeah.
But I can't remember if she was a Jew or a Jew.
Yeah, we're getting on in there now. Glean not in another field. That's what Sue was talking about. Neither pass from hence, but abide here. Abide in me.
Mm-hmm.
Fast by my maidens. By my maidens. That's his maidens. That's his folks.
Yeah.
Amen.
If you notice, you have the bride, and then you have the, what are her friends called?
Virgins.
Yeah.
Maidens. And so, without number.
If you look at her as being the bride, and the other ones, the maidens, would be the virgin, you know.
Yeah.
They weren't chosen, you know. They weren't being treated the same way she was being treated, you know. And he told her not to pass from that field. Yeah, I just find all of that interesting, you know. But yeah, that's all I got to say about it. I do find that interesting. But I do see that remnant, you know, what she was collecting as being the Gentiles, and the handfuls that were being dropped as being the Jews.
Okay.
I do find that kind of interesting, though. But that's my take on it. If I'm wrong, let me know.
No, that sounds good to me. Okay. we're in verse 9. Let thine eyes be on the field that they do reap. Keep your eyes on me, on my field. What's my field? That's the promises. Keep everything on me. That's his land. Keep everything on me. That's the promises. Keep it on me. And you're going to find some stuff here. And go thou after them. Have I not charged the young men that they shall not touch thee? What else did he provide for? Come on now. Y'all can say that.
Protect.
Yes. He provided protection. There's provision. There's protection. And listen to this. And when thou art athirst, go unto the vessels and drink of that which the young men have drawn. She don't even have to work for that water, does she? She don't have to work for none of it. It's already there available to her. Okay, Monroe has something here. Let's see what he said. Keeping her eyes on the field is also a reminder of the Great Commission. Yes, it is. I agree. Yep. Okay. All right.
Who? Michael?
Yeah, I see. I'm just ignoring him. Hey, go ahead. I'm just cutting up with y'all. Go ahead. What do you say, sir?
Go ahead.
Is it on? Is it on? Okay. I started thinking about Song of Solomon. Let me read. If it's okay, I'd like to read.
Sure. Okay.
Tell me, you, the one I know, I love, where do you pasture your sheep? Where do you let them rest at noon? Why should I be like one who veils herself beside the flocks of your companions? If you do not know, most beautiful of women, follow the track of the flock. This is Song of Solomon, relates to the bride. And it says, wait a minute, I forgot. Okay. If you do not know, most beautiful of women, follow the tracks of the flock and pasture your young goats that near the shepherd's tents. But it made me think about her. She's in his field where the flocks are. And, you know, made me think of her coming to a pasture that's not her own. So I don't know. I just felt like.
Yeah, I was muted. Yeah, that goes along with what we're talking about here. Yeah. And whose field was it?
Well, it started with Song of Songs was relating to Solomon, who represents
yes.
the
bride. Yep. Yep. Amen.
And he represents the bride.
And he told her don't go into another field, didn't he?
Right. He told her to go on this field, that field.
Yep. Keep yourself up in my field here.
Mm-hmm.
All right. And drink of that which the young men have grown. Anybody see anything in there? Tim, go bail me out. Go ahead, Tim.
I don't know about that, but I see it as the living water being a free gift there that she doesn't have to work for. It's just provided by the Lord. It's available just for the taking.
Amen. That's it. Praise God. All right. Anybody else see anything else? Well, all right, let's read on here.
Can you hear me?
Oh, I can now, George. Yeah, go ahead.
I was just considering who Boaz is again and who he represents, and thinking that when he's saying, hear me, and then gives directions, it's almost like hearing that voice of the Spirit that's saying, don't turn to the left or the right, but follow the path I'm laying out for you. And it's almost like the commission given to Joshua when he says, you know, I'm giving you the land, don't turn to the left or the right. It's a promise of a future. And I don't know, that's all I got out of that.
Amen. I agree. Thank you, Lord. Then she fell on her face and bowed herself to the ground and said unto him, why have I found favor in thy sight that thou shouldest take knowledge of me, seeing I am a foreigner? And Boaz answered and said unto her, it hath fully been showed to me all that thou hast done unto thy mother-in-law since the death of thy husband, and how thou hast left thy father and thy mother in the land of thy nativity, and art come unto a people that thou knowest not heretofore. Okay, well, y'all see. I'm just going to stop right there. Okay, Missy, go ahead.
Well, and okay. She asked why she found favor, you know, and he says, he tells her why, that all that she's done, it makes me think of when the Lord says, they asked, when did we see you hunger and when did we see you thirst and loving? He says, all that you've done unto the least of these, you've done unto me. That comes to my mind, you know.
Okay.
And also the Lord, you know, tells us to leave all that we have, you know, he says if something about, I think it's in Luke somewhere, is the verses that really impressed me about, where it says, if you leave not all, even your own life, you're not worthy of me, you know. We're supposed to leave all, and that's what she was doing here. And,
she surrendered all. She gave it all. Yeah, Pat.
I agree with that. As I was listening to this, I was trying to go back and think where the frame of reference where this was at, and I had to go back and think again what has happened up to this point. Naomi went into Moab with her two sons. They married Moabitess wives. Naomi's husband dies, leaves her without a support in her life, only her two sons. And then her two sons die, and her two daughter-in-laws are left to be with her, and they are all in a situation of destitution for the most part. Naomi says to her daughters, go back and find yourselves some husbands so that you can fortify or secure your future. And I think in Naomi's heart, she was thinking, and I will be alone and die penniless or whatever. And Ruth at that time made a commitment to her and devoted her life to her. And I guess what I'm thinking is that the thought was, if we're going to die and starve to death, we're going to die together and starve to death together. I will be with you. And that commitment and that willing devotion to make that choice and make that sacrifice was a something that the Lord looked on as very, very valuable. And so consequently, in verse 11, Boaz being a picture of the Lord, when she fell on her face and said, "Why are you showing me this favor?" And his response was, "It has fully been showed to me what you have done unto thy mother-in-law in devoting yourself to be with her, to be her support, to trust her, to trust God to supply for you both, even though both of you were widows and destined to be poor. You have devoted yourself to your mother-in-law to be there with her in this process, in this time, no matter what. And that spirit of devotion is something that I believe is so appealing and lovely to the Lord. And I guess that's kind of what I'm getting out of those verses there.
Yep. Okay. Anybody else?
I just got something about her two daughter-in-laws there.
Okay.
It's like the two women that are working there, and one will be taken and the other will be left.
Okay. And, yeah, that's good.
Yeah. So that's what I thought of there. And
That's in the first chapter, yeah. Praise God.
Ooh, nice.
Amen. Yeah, that's good. Go ahead, Tim.
Yeah, if you started reading that verse 10 and 11, Esther came to mind almost immediately. So I went back and looked at that a little bit. It's kind of a reversal of roles as far as a foreigner. Still similar. And I just went back and just glanced at that. But, you know, Esther was a Jew amongst Gentiles. And, Ruth is a Gentile amongst Jews, but they both found favor in their Lord's eye.
Amen. That's good. Yes, sir. That happened. Okay. Do you have something, Judy, that you wanted to share?
Well, the loyalty that Ruth was showing is what the Lord wants us to show to him and be Amen. Loyal to him.
And, yeah.
Mm-hmm. I just wanted to mention that.
Okay. Absolutely. You did. What you got, Danny?
Yeah. Well, mine would be going into the next verse that it's obvious that she had a revelation of the God of Israel when you read the next verse, because Boaz tells her that you know that she has come to Israel, you know, for protect. You know, the Lord come to the Lord God of Israel for protection. So, in this whole thing, you know, it would be one thing just to do this in the natural, but then you know when you there's God involved, you know, you get the revelation of the God of Israel. But that you'll see that in the next verse.
Okay. Let me go. Anybody else on those 10 and 11? Yeah, we need to go on to 12. Let's see what it says. The Lord recompense thy work, and a full reward be given thee of the Lord, the God of Israel, under whose wings thou art come to take refuge. Then she said, let me find favor in thy sight, my Lord, for that thou hast comforted me, and for that thou hast spoken kindly unto thy handmaid, though I be not as one of thy handmaidens. And at mealtime, Boaz said unto her, come hither and eat of the bread, and dip thy morsel in the vinegar. And she sat beside the reapers, and they reached her parched grain, and she did eat, and was sufficed, and left there. All right, we're going to stop there. 12, 13, 14. What you got? Anybody see anything in there? Yeah, Andrew.
He shall cover thee with his feathers, and under his wings shall thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and thy buckler.
Amen.
So that's Psalms 91 and 4.
Mm-hmm. Amen. That's good. All right, who else?
Thou art my shield and my exceedingly great reward. Blessings of Abraham in Christ Jesus. There's her reward there. The great reward, of course, is the new man that you get, the new life. And the shield is the shield of faith, I assume.
You, okay.
You partake of the Lord's faith. You have God's faith, Jesus' faith.
Okay, Monroe says, taking part of the body and blood of Jesus. All right, what else is in here?
Well, I see it as us when we come to Jesus. We really humble ourselves before him, like she did above when she fell before him on the ground and said, why you find favor in me? And then down here when she is saying, when she's being gracious to me, but I'm not even your maidservant. It's like when we come to Jesus, our kinsman redeemer, he already knows, you know, who we are in him. He knows who he's chosen us already. And that we acknowledge that we are nothing. I am nothing. Why do you have favor upon me? And I just see that same relationship grace. With us coming to Jesus and finding favor in his eyes, his grace on us.
And, amen.
He knew she cried. He knew that. He knew we are. So.
Thank you, Jesus. Yeah. Amen.
I got Matthew 19:29.
Hi, Sonia.
Hi. Where he says, and everyone that has forsaken houses or brethren or sisters or father or mother or wife or children or lands for my name's sake shall receive 100-fold and shall inherit everlasting life.
There you go. Amen. Amen. That's what she did. She forsook all, didn't she?
Yeah.
Go ahead, Tim.
Well, kind of along the same line as Sumi was just saying, if he's receiving a full reward, given thee of Jehovah, that would be the salvation, the Greek, or, you know, meaning, I guess, be soterio, the, you know, all the needs, the total salvation would be a full reward.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Somebody else had their hand raised there for a minute. Who was that? What are our works? Yeah, Andrew.
That's Ephesians 2:10. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus upon good works, which God afore hath ordained that we should walk in them. I think that's how it goes.
Sounds like it. Sounds close to me. Yeah, that's it. Amen. Okay, let's see. Where did I stop at 14? And at mealtime, Boaz said unto her, come hither and eat of the bread and dip thy morsel in the vinegar. And she sat beside the reapers and they reached her parched grain and she did eat and was sufficed and left thereof. Yeah, Judy.
It was like when the disciples were eating with Jesus' table and they did communion and he broke the bread. Mm-hmm. That's what that made me think of.
Yeah.
Okay. That'll work. That's one aspect of it. It sure is. Mm-hmm. All right. Yeah, go ahead, Tim.
Well, it's kind of like a symbolic acceptance when you're invited to sit down with the locals and the other family members to, you know, come and eat with us. You know, it's an acceptance and that you're part of the family now.
Amen. Yeah, Missy, go ahead.
It made me think of where the Lord told his servants or whatever to go out and invite everybody, and then even go to the all that there were a lot that turned him down, but then he said even go to the highways and the byways, you know, and the I don't know, the poor or whatever, but that was referring, I forget how the verses go. I should have looked it up anyway. but then he basically tells them to go to the Gentiles then too, you know. Mm-hmm. So that kind of made me think of that, the Supper of the Lamb or something like that. I forget what it's called. I have to look it up.
Yeah.
But anyway.
Okay. So when you go to the Lord's table and you partake of the Lord's table and you get sufficed and she was filled up, wasn't she? She was filled up with the Lord's word. She was filled up. She's ready to go out and do whatever it is she needed to do. I think somebody had, Pat, did you have something up on the chat deal thing here? Let's see.
Sorry, I just put up, I was, this morning I was actually in Isaiah 26 and it reminded me when you were talking about those works of the Lord and, that verse 12 there in 26, it said, you will establish peace for us since you also performed for us all our works. And it reminded me of that verse that Andrew brought up in Ephesians 2:10, those works of righteousness which are in us, that the Lord is performing in us through his Spirit and his Word, that we are his workmanship. And it just aligned up with that that idea, was all. So I flipped it up there.
Yeah, it did. Amen. All right, anybody see anything else here before we move on? Yes, Sunil, go ahead.
I see this as a similarity to Melchizedek giving bread and wine to Abraham. And also Boaz as the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit bringing forth the man-child.
Okay. All right. That's good. Let's see what else we got here. And when she was risen up to glean, Boaz commanded his young men, say, let her glean even among the sheaves, and reproach her not. Uh-oh. And also pull out some for her from the bundles and leave it, and let her glean, and rebuke her not. Uh-oh. That's some more scriptures in the New Testament there. So she gleaned in the field until even, and she beat out that which she had gleaned, and it was about an ephah of barley. And then she took it up and went into the city, and her mother-in-law saw what she had gleaned, and she brought forth and gave to her that which she had left after she was sufficed. Okay, what y'all see in those verses?
An idea.
Go ahead, George.
It just seems like we're starting to see a progression here. Like she's someone who by faith didn't have a covenant maybe, but came into a place where she entered in to the land. She got involved with the harvest. The Lord took notice of her. He began to know her, and she found favor, and the harvest that she was gathering is starting to go from maybe from that 30-fold to a 60-fold, and we see in the end what she gets. It also reminds me of John 14:23, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and we will come to him and make our home with him. You will remain in my love just as I kept my Father's commandments, all that stuff. So it's kind of like I'm seeing a progression, I guess.
Amen. Amen. All right. Come on now. Yeah, Andrew.
There's a verse in the Church of Laodicea where it says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him and will sup with him and he with me. So here's partaking of with the Lord at the Lord's table also. And kind of all of these verses here she's going to be partaking of these fruit later. And she's being given more, you know. So he's providing the sup in the future. And her rapport with Boaz is kind of like the end part of that verse there, you know, sup with you and you with me, you know. So that's what I got out of that.
And I was muted. Sorry about that. Okay, amen. Yeah. Tim, go ahead.
I was just thinking as Andrew was speaking there, the verse about he is faithful in a little will be given a lot. So, you know, she's done well with a little, and he's given her more and more of the
yep. fruit. Amen. That's what crossed my mind. One of the things crossed my mind too is that right there. Amen. Now she's moving into this 60-fold, isn't she? She's been in the 30. She's been out there cleaning. Now the Lord is throwing things at her. He's giving her good stuff. Go ahead, Sue.
I know there's a scripture, I can't remember where it is, but it says about how if you're faithful with little, you'll be given more or much. I was like, faithful with a little, you'll be given much. You're given
yeah,
more.
I think Tim just quoted that.
Oh, I'm sorry.
That's okay. That's all right. We need to hear it again. Amen. Okay, she gleaned in the field until evening and beat out that which she had gleaned, and it was about an ephah of barley. What y'all see in there, anything? Go, Tim.
Well, I don't know. I looked it up when I first read this a few weeks ago, and an ephah is about 10 omers. So it's an omer was like a portion, so it's like 10-fold of, you know, what maybe a person would have done in a regular day. So it's getting a lot. I don't know
exactly okay.
those, but it is about 10 times.
Okay. Go, Sunil.
It's I'm feeling like it's the wave offering.
Okay.
The harvest.
Yeah, because when they beat it out, you know, when they beat that stuff out, they put it up. They'd have a little hump there, and then they beat that thing out, and the straw and the chaff would go far away from it, but the pile of that stuff would be right there. Like, what's his name was talking about last week? Chuck Misler. Misler, what his name is. Yeah, go ahead, Denny. Well, wait a minute. Let me unmute you. It works better when we do that. If I can. Yeah, there we go.
Yeah, my translation just says about nearly 25 pounds. So I don't know how much that would be, you know, like how many bushels are we were thinking today's term.
Well, I don't know. I suspect that a bushel might be 25 pounds. I don't know. I'm not much on barley. I grew that one time. Grew about 2 acres of it. One time, that's been 50, yeah. 40 something years ago. So I don't know.
I'm still in the script. Okay. Am I still open?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, also in the scriptures, the barley harvest was always Passover, yeah. And it went on in yep. the wheat harvest, and the wheat harvest represented Pentecost. So yep. she's going from into both.
Okay. Amen. So go ahead.
This one thing that was standing out to me about her beating the beat out what she had gathered made me think about, you know, the separation of the grain with the chaff.
it made me think of the grain being like the spirit of the word and the chaff being the flesh, you know, because it's it doesn't profit anything. Like the tares and the wheat, you know, but it made me think that, you know, when we get the word in us, we have to recognize the things that are in our life and the things that are not of our spirit, that are of the flesh. We have to make that distinction within us. That's what made me think about that beating on the, you know, does that make sense?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Sure. To somebody. No, I'm not kidding. No, it makes sense. So, yeah, that's good. All right. Anybody else? I like to mess with Sue. Okay, let's see. And she took it up and went into the city, and her mother-in-law saw what she had gleaned, and she brought forth and gave to her that which she had left after she was sufficed. After she got what she wanted, she took the rest of it to mom-in-law. She's spreading it out. She's spreading the word, isn't she? She's spreading it out to mama-in-law, who is... represents what? Represents the Old Testament Jew. She's going to give her some of this truth she's got. She's going to give her some of this bread she's been getting. And she's going to open up some eyeballs here. Okay, let's see. Let me go on here. Anybody, unless anybody else got something. Okay. Let me see. Any, mini, money, mo. I'll pick you, Andrew. Then I'll come right back to you soon.
Well, if Naomi is the Old Testament, then the beating out has to be done because they're still pretty much letter, and they need the spirit of the word. So that's what I got.
Yeah. Well, but she had already beat the word. And she was taking the fruit back over to her. And so she was witnessing there, I guess, you know.
Yeah.
Amen.
So it had to be separated for
Naomi
is what I was saying.
Oh, yeah. Okay. I got you. Okay. Oh, go ahead, Sue.
Okay. This does fit with what I was just saying because we have to eat the word ourselves and get it in us, you know, assimilating us before we can give it to anybody else. We have to get the understanding of the word, because if we let somebody else, how can they eat of it if they don't if we don't have the understanding, how can we give it to them?
Amen. And
so we have, you know, because at first you say, well, geez, she was selfish. She ate first. No, she had to eat first. She had to take the word in first and let it get in her.
Mm-hmm.
Once you knew what it meant, made that separation. But she knew what it meant, and then while she was eating of it, then she was able to give it to her, you know, her to the other ones. Like, we have to get that truth in us first before we can give it. The more Christ we get in, the more we're able to give it.
Amen. Amen. That's good. Okay. Right. All right. Go ahead, Tim.
Yeah, when the separation of between the staff and the grain, you like the letter kill us and the spirit gives life. You're separating.
You're breaking up.
Okay, except when you eat the stalk and separated the grain, you're getting rid of the letter and bring the spirit back to
you. Okay. All right. Let's see. Sonny have had something down there in the chat, didn't he? Right. Yes, we can give others what we don't have ourselves. Yeah, we can't give others what we don't have ourselves. Yeah, that's right. And then Pat says in Hebrews 4:12, for the word of God is living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword, and piercing even to the dividing of soul and spirit of both joints and marrow, quick to discern the thoughts and intents of the heart. Yep, that's another good one. Okay. Anybody else?
There's the three revelation gifts there. Word of wisdom, word of knowledge, and discernment.
Okay.
So Naomi would need to discern that stuff according to the Spirit. And Ruth can supply for her because she partook first, and then she's giving it to Naomi.
Okay, let's go to 19. And her mother-in-law said unto her, where hast thou gleaned today, and where hast thou wrought? Blessed be he that did take knowledge of thee. And she showed her mother-in-law with whom she had wrought, and said, the man's name with whom I wrought today is Boaz. And Naomi said unto her daughter-in-law, blessed be he of the Lord, who hath not left off his kindness to the living and to the dead. And Naomi said unto her, the man is nigh of kin unto us, one of our near kinsmen. And Ruth the Moabite said, yeah, he said unto me, thou shalt keep fast by my young men until they have ended all my harvest. And Naomi said unto Ruth, her daughter-in-law, it is good, my daughter, that thou go out with his maiden, and that they meet thee not in any other field. And so she kept fast by the maidens of Boaz to glean unto the end of barley harvest and of wheat harvest, as she dwelt with her mother-in-law. All right, what y'all see in those few verses there? Where hast thou gleaned today? Where you been, girl? What you been doing today? Blessed be he that take knowledge of thee. Yeah, Pat, go ahead.
You know, I can start to see kind of a blend of how the Lord uses the law and grace, and in Ruth working that grace out in her life, and through her devotion, her obedience, her submission. And then I can see the wheels turning in Naomi as when she finds out where she was gleaning in the field of Boaz. And of course, I'm sure the law came ringing true in her heart as she realized that Boaz was near of kin, a potential kinsman redeemer. And that law understanding that the Lord the society and the Lord functions off of law as a foundation. And anyway, she reverted back to that, and the wheels started turning. and I can just see that happening in the background as she's asking questions and Ruth is telling her what she was doing and where she was at. And all of a sudden, things are starting to churn here. And I think the next chapter starts to get into that. She starts now giving her direction based upon the law of the land. And knowing that, again, that's God's kingdom is based upon law. And so, I don't know, it's kind of where I saw that. I haven't gone anywhere with it, but it's It just seems to me like you can see the wheels turning in Naomi's mind there.
Amen. Amen. What she found out Boaz was where she was. Like Pat said, and the wheels in that woman's mind would turn. Go ahead, Debbie. Wait a minute, we got to unmute. Hang on. Let me make sure I can do it. Yeah, it's better if you can do it. It's easy.
Sorry, I thought I'm just, we need to use, okay. When Naomi said, the man is a relative of ours, one of our nearest kin. And then Ruth said, and it's like it's a stress, what she says here, says, besides, he said to me. And another translation I have, it says, he even said to me, you shall keep close to my servants till they have finished all my harvest. So I don't really know what that's saying, but I think it's supposed to say something because he even said that to her. She stressed that. Mm-hmm. So you guys think that says? Not really. I'm just noticing it must mean something. She said, besides, he said to me, you shall keep close to my servants till they have finished all my harvest.
Amen.
What that means, though.
I'm sure somebody's got it.
Well, there was protection there. The next verse says it. Otherwise, you might be molested.
Mm-hmm. Oh, she's stressing to Naomi the protection he gave her. Okay. Okay. Just wondered what it meant.
Okay, and Naomi said unto Ruth, her daughter-in-law. It's Naomi's talking there. It's Mama. Mama said unto Ruth, her daughter-in-law, it is good, my daughter, that thou go out with his maidens, that they meet thee not in any other field. And so she kept fast by the maidens of Boaz to glean unto the end of barley harvest and of wheat harvest, Pentecost. And she dwelt with her mother-in-law. Yes, sir.
I was just thinking about, you know, she's coming back with all this grain. And what I was thinking is this grain kind of represents, again, the Word of God. And Naomi knew the Word in her. She knew the Old Testament. She knew the Word. But,
she knew the law.
Yeah, she was in the law. But it sounds like to me that Naomi had started to see that Ruth received a lot of understanding of what Naomi had already been in, to the point where she was receiving what Ruth was saying. You know, when you look at it, at the grain as a spiritual word, you know, and her eating of it and stuff, and she's coming back and she's telling where she's been and what she's been doing and stuff. Could it be that Naomi is starting to see that God has been there for Ruth, and that's a good place because she's understanding the Word of God?
Amen. Well, if you're looking 22, Naomi told Ruth, she said, it's good, my daughter, that I go out with this maiden, that they meet thee not in any other field. Don't go back.
Right. Don't go anywhere.
Get in the right field.
That's
yeah.
Good where you're going. You're getting the Word.
Yeah. Amen. Stay in that Word.
Yeah.
Okay.
This kind of reminds me of something David said. I believe it was Sunday, talking about how we're like ruminants. We chew on that word like a cow does a cud. How she's working in his field. She's amongst his harvest, and this is a process of time that all of this is not like falling in love and they run off and get married all of a sudden. They're both listening to each other's story. It says back in verse 11 that he said, "It has fully been showed me all that thou hast done under thy mother-in-law since the death of thy husband." So she's got a story that he's chewing on too. While he's giving her favor, he's still going on about his life, and something about, you know, it's like two paths colliding here, and we're seeing it in slow motion that there's something getting sticky here. And that covenant is forming something new, basically, and we're kind of seeing it in slow motion. It's like us in working in the Lord's harvest ourselves. You know, we all see in part, so we follow the light that we have, and we do this little bit, and we're faithful in a little, and He gives us more, and we find ourselves in love. We don't want anything else, and we get counsel, we seek counsel, and we get counsel from elders who tell us, "All right, honey, don't you look anywhere else. You're on the right track, and there is no greater joy than what you found." So, you know, and he's got these other maidens, but they might not have the story that this one's got of faithfulness and covenant, and there's just something. You know, I put myself in both of their shoes, and we've all probably been in love and get that kind of background building where we keep wondering, something's up. What is going on with all this? And, you know, I don't know. I'm probably way out in left field as usual.
No, you're right on target. You're right on target. Okay. What you girls laughing about, you and Judy? What y'all laughing about?
I don't know.
George sounds like a young Kurt. Listen to his voice. George, you sound like
we love it.
Yeah, I love Kurt too.
Yeah, you really do.
You do sound like Kurt. I'm sorry, but I mean, it's a good thing. But thank you. We love Kurt. We love you too.
I cut my own hair when I was a kid, but that's about as close as I got to being very good at it.
Oh my goodness.
Well, Kurt's laughing at us now.
Amen.
Yeah. Praise God. If you don't know, Kurt was one of the fellowship, and he went home to be with the Lord last year. Maybe last year. Maybe here before, I don't remember. Wish somebody, 1 year? Yeah, it's been over a year ago.
It was early this year.
Oh, okay. Well, I knew that.
Remember, it was, he cheated. He skipped out on that 7-day no food, yeah. no drink fast.
He did. Thank you, Jesus. He said, "Thank you, Jesus, for getting me out of there. I appreciate it, Lord. Thank you, Lord." Yeah. Kurt was one of a kind. We loved him. Okay. I forget where we were now. I was on Kurt. That was George talking. Okay, yeah, George, that's good. You know, I'll go over a couple of things here that I wrote down. I said, in the first chapter, we found Ruth that she didn't know who Boaz was. She didn't know nothing about him, but she knew that she wanted to tag along with Naomi. She was loyal to Naomi, her mother-in-law. And then in this chapter here, what she do? She's a poor laborer out there gleaning the fields, wasn't she? Now we're fixing to see a big change in the next chapter. We'll probably go, my goodness, I'm running way behind here. Oh, my. That's okay. So chapter 3 is where all the good stuff starts. This is the good stuff, chapter 3. That's when fruit is born. Thank you, Jesus. Okay. Has anybody got any prayer requests before we close out the night? Thank y'all for participating. It's been fun. I enjoy these type of things. So I hope to be able to get back into it again before Thursday. Also, Thursday, we'll run that little 15, 16-minute YouTube thing. That's going to be awesome. Y'all, if you get a chance, get online and look it up. Lord, I just praise you and thank you, Lord, for what you're doing in us. And I thank you, Lord, for all these wonderful people. And Father, I just ask and I pray that you be with us in the days ahead and do just like you did with Ruth and provide for us and protect us, keep us from harm and give us more fruit, Lord. Give us more word from your revelation, from your word. And I praise you for it, Lord. It looks like in the days ahead, we're going to have some awesome, awesome homecomings. And we're going to have some people coming in. We need to be ready for them. Get us ready. Adjust our hearts to be like yours, Lord. Replace our hearts with yours, Lord. We want to have the heart of Jesus. We want all the darkness to go. We want all the bitterness, anything that's hindering our walk, Lord. You move in, move that stuff out. That's what we ask in the name of Jesus. And I thank you for it, Lord. I thank you, Lord, that I know that in the days ahead, we all are going to be blessed beyond our wildest dreams. And I praise you, Father, for being with us in Jesus' name. Amen. Good night, y'all. Love you. Let me get everybody. Uh-oh, what happened to my mouse? I think my mouse died. No, it didn't. In Jesus' name. Well, y'all unmute yourself. I can't get it done.
Good
night, everybody.
Bless y'all.
Good night. God bless everybody.
Bless y'all.
Bye, Joe. Bye, bye.